Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, blessed first day of Advent in our new church year. A little bit snowy outside, so we're kind of jumping the gun to Christmas already. I can do the stuff now that we had planned on, the hope, I believe. Is that? But yeah, if they want to come up and light this now, we can, and we can do a little brief message on.
So let's look at this right here behind you. This is what we're going to talk about today. So today's the first Sunday in Advent. We've talked about that a little bit in Sunday school, right? It's a new season, and it's a season of the church year that comes right before Christmas. Advent means coming. And in this season, we're preparing for the coming of Christ, right? Pretty soon, you're going to start preparing for the Christmas Eve service, right? So you have to practice songs. You have to practice your verses, right? Because we're getting ready for a big celebration, and that celebration is what?
The celebration of Jesus' birthday.
That's right, that's right. So this Advent wreath that we see every Advent, and each Sunday we're going to light a different candle, but there's some things on here I want you to pay close attention to. First of all, the wreath, it's a circle, right? It has no beginning and no end.
That's the ending of God's love.
There is no ending. That's right. There is no ending of God's love. So that's what we think of. And then this green, what's that we sing in the gospel fuzzy song? Green means
I am growing.
Green means I am growing. So the green on the Advent wreath reminds us too that our faith is growing, okay? And then we're going to light our first candle. And this is the candle of, we talked about Sunday school.
Love.
No, not the first one. Hope. The candle of hope, right? What are we hopeful for?
Jesus.
We know that Jesus was on this earth once, and we're waiting for him to come again, right? His second coming. So we're hopeful that that's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. We just don't know when, right? So today we're lighting the first candle, the candle of hope. Now, in order for me to do that, I need to get someone. Can you stay right here for just a second? Have you ever seen anybody use one of these before? So they use it to light candles. So I have to go up here first. Do you know why I just bowed?
The cross.
I bowed because I was showing respect to be up there by the altar. That's God's table. So now I'm going to light the candle of what?
Hope.
So we lit the candle of hope. And we talked a little bit this morning in Sunday school about Isaiah. Isaiah had some words in the Bible. He was a prophet. He was telling people that the Messiah was coming, right? So the people of Israel, we studied about in that Bible school this summer too, they knew that God had promised a Savior, and that Savior was coming someday, and that Savior would be Jesus Christ, right? Can we say a prayer? You know how to do a repeat prayer with me, right? So let's do a prayer, and then you guys can share your song with everybody, okay? Dear God, thank you for being the light of hope. As we prepare for Christ coming,
help us
to share this hope
with others.
Amen. Okay, now turn around so everybody can see your beautiful faces, and let's sing Light One Candle of Hope. Ready?
Light one candle of hope, one bright candle of hope. We bring hope to every heart. He comes, he comes.
Okay, we will be beginning with our hymn, our first hymn, hymn 508, The Day is Surely Drawing Near.
Whom God appointed, then
preached at his commanding. The books are opened then to all, a record truly telling what each has done, both great and small, when he on earth was dwelling. And every heart shall clearly see, and all be known as they have been, in thoughts and words and actions. Then woe to those who scorn the Lord and sought but carnal pleasures, who were despised his precious word and loved their earthly treasures. With shame and trembling they will stand, and at the judgment stern command, to Satan be delivered. My Savior paid the debt I owe, and for my sin was smitten. Within the book of life I know my name has now been written. I will not doubt, for I am free, and Satan cannot threaten me. There is no condemnation. May Christ our intercessor be, and through his blood and merit, read from his book that we are free, and with all life inherit. Then we shall see him face to face, with all his saints in that blessed place, which he has purchased for us. O Jesus Christ, do not delay, but hasten our salvation. We often tremble on our way in fear and tribulation. O hear and grant us fervent plea. Come, mighty Judge, and set us free from every death.
Please rise.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, King who comes to save us.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come, let us worship Him. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in His hand. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hand formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come, let us worship Him.
I was glad when they said to me,
let us go into the house of the Lord.
Our feet have been standing
within your gates, O Jerusalem.
Jerusalem built as a city
that is bound firmly together,
to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel,
to give thanks to the name of the Lord.
Their thrones for judgment were set,
the thrones of the house of David.
Pray for peace of Jerusalem.
May they be secure who love you.
Peace be within your walls
and security within your towers.
For my brothers and companions' sake,
I will say, peace be within you.
For the sake of the house of the Lord our God,
I will seek your good.
You may be seated for our readings. The first reading for this first Sunday of Advent comes from Isaiah chapter 2. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz said concerning Judah and Jerusalem: it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us His ways, and that we may walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, He shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading comes from Romans chapter 13. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling or in jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Jesus said, "Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
We now say together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I invite the children forward for a brief children's message. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you guys got to light the candle of hope. And so we're hoping for Jesus, right? What exactly is it that we hope in, though, when Jesus comes?
That we go to heaven.
That we go to heaven? Yeah, and did you guys hear the Old Testament reading we had for this morning? That Isaiah said that he's going to come back, that Jesus will be here. He'll come and they'll make peace. There will be an everlasting peace. And we know that's not always the case, right? You know, there's some bad stuff that happens. There are bad guys. Police have to go out and round them up. And you also have wars and things like that, right? And there's not always peace. But Isaiah wrote that they'll beat swords into plowshares, which means they're going to take all their swords and they're going to use them basically like farm equipment instead. And there's not going to be any war. There's not going to be any of that anymore. And so Jesus is going to bring this peace, but a peace that we don't quite have yet. And we don't really understand what that means fully because we don't live in a world that has peace. And I'm sure you guys have gotten in trouble before. At home? Have you maybe gotten in trouble at school? Yeah. Well, that won't happen anymore. You're homeschooled, and so you get in trouble at home. And so when you get in trouble, well, that won't happen anymore. There's going to be peace in the world where we won't have to worry about sin, and Jesus will make everything perfect and right like it was supposed to be before everything fell apart. When we see in the Old Testament with Adam and Eve who sinned, right? And so we know that we're sinners because of that, but we know that Jesus came and died for us, and that peace isn't quite here yet. But part of the season of Advent is that we get to wait for Jesus, not just remembering his first coming in Advent, but that second coming that's going to happen here when he returns. It'll bring peace to all of us. And so you don't have to worry about getting in trouble at home anymore. You don't have to worry about the police rounding people up anymore. No more wars. Jesus will bring peace for all of us. And because of that, we get to have something that we don't quite understand yet, but we will receive it. And it's a great promise because we don't see it yet, but it will be here someday. So you guys want to fold your hands and pray with me? Thank you. And so let's repeat after me here, please. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you came that first Advent, and that we know you will come again, and a second Advent, and you will bring peace on earth, which will be an everlasting peace. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, you guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for coming up here. We now will sing our hymn of the day, LSB 332.
Savior of the nations, come, virgin song. By you.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. This morning marks a special day here at Zion. And while I know we had planned for this special day to be with a great baby shower, that wasn't exactly what I had in mind when I was thinking about it being a special day. And I mentioned it, that it's the first day of Advent. We've started a new church year, and that as the church year goes, it's kind of this big circle, but it's not really just a circle. It kind of goes onward. It's like a spiral. If you look like a spring, it goes on and on and on as we go in and await Jesus' return. And that's why this Advent is so exciting, because it's really the season of anticipation. And so maybe that's why it was fitting to have a baby shower, or even have that on our mind, to have an anticipation of a child coming. Because if you think about it, the coming of a child really is a season of anticipation in one's life. You're anticipating with great excitement and joy of what is to come, but not yet fully having that great gift. But in some sense, though, life just goes on all the same. You have to continue moving on, because if you become overconsumed with that excitement or that anticipation for that child that is to come, then you kind of let other things fall by the wayside. If I didn't actually take care of Leah and all of her needs outside of the pregnancy, or take care of the chores around the house and just start packing frantically and get ready for the hospital, then things around the house actually fall apart, because we don't actually continue living as if life is also moving on. And so I stand here today anticipating our first child while also bringing you God's word. Both are important and both healthy things, and both are necessary to be done, but you cannot focus solely on one thing at once, and we all know what that's like. It's called multitasking. But the season of Advent is really very much like this as well. It's this balancing act between these two things. And so forever, as we go through the season of Advent, we have the next season of the church year before our eyes. We have to think about Christmas, but we also can't oversaturate it with Christmas, or else we don't actually get to celebrate Christmas. But what is it then that we can get overconsumed with throughout Advent? If I talked about, you know, letting all the things go by the wayside in the house and not taking care of my house and all the other things at home because we're so anticipating baby, what is it in Advent that we can over-anticipate that might almost stun us where we're at in this moment? Because, you know, this unknown can't really be the coming of Jesus. We know what that held. We know that Jesus was born. That's not the thing that we can over-anticipate, because we know what it offered. We know what Jesus did in his life. That's all been revealed to us. But it's really what our gospel reading talked about today. That's the thing that we can over-anticipate. And it's really that return of Christ, that if we focus too much on that sometimes, it can make life almost stagnate, or we become overly concerned with the future. And so if we view Advent as a season only leading to Christmas, and that it just recalls the birth of Jesus, then we lose sight of that second coming and lose sight of the greater hope that we have to come. But if we also just focus in on that part of Advent, then we focus too much in on things that are unknown. We focus too much on the things that we cannot predict, and we lose sight of what Jesus has already done and the promises that he has already offered, and that we actually have a great many of them already right now. And so this really is a balancing act throughout the season of Advent. And as our text said, so you too can also stay awake, for your Lord is coming. And doing this balancing act is staying awake. That first and most clear focus of Advent is, as we said, is that preparation of recalling Christmas and what our Lord came to accomplish. We, like all who came before us, recall all of what Scripture has to say about Jesus and that birth, and then his eventual whole earthly ministry and what it led to. But now, unlike the people of the Old Testament who waited in anticipation for Jesus to come the first time, we actually have the whole entire New Testament, which reveals everything that we need to know about what Jesus has offered us. And this part of Advent and that part of knowing is actually what grounds us in faith throughout this Advent season. We know that Jesus came and offered us forgiveness through the death that he would eventually die. And to keep with that baby analogy, a couple expecting knows a baby is coming, and this fact remains true despite all the many things going on in life. You can't just act as if it's not going to happen. But there's also that portion of the season of Advent that is unknown, which is us awaiting our Lord's return. And as Jesus himself said in our gospel reading, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. And this is the unknown promise, and maybe better said, not unknown, because we know what it's going to offer, but we don't actually have it fully yet. And so it's really a promise not fully received right now. And it's just like people that know they're expecting a baby. They know they're going to have one, but they don't necessarily know what that's like yet. So just like that anticipation of a newborn, this is what the season of Advent is like. We don't actually fully know what we're going to get in that great joy. But we do know that it will offer us peace, that the Lord will bring himself on that last day, as Isaiah said, and as I told the kids this morning, they shall beat their swords into plowshares. There will be an everlasting peace that we will receive because Jesus has come to offer it, one that we don't quite have yet, but it is to come. And so this anticipation continues to look forward instead of backwards. The part of Advent that we spoke of previously is one that we look back to the cross, we look back to his birth, and we might even look back to our baptism, knowing that that is where we have been grounded in our faith. And yet, this part, this one that looks forward, is now a soul awakened for the promises yet to come, awake for the hope of final deliverance on that last day. Yet both anticipating the promises already received in Christ's birth and the promises received in full on that last day, if we separate them, they become two parts of a whole. They have to go together. It's like the excitement of a coming child and the fact that you know you're having one. You can't not anticipate and prepare for a child. They have to go hand in hand, or else you're not actually going to be ready. And another example would be like a farmer who plants seed you guys just harvested in the fall. I hope you're not planting seed right now. But in the spring, if you planted seed in the spring, you better anticipate the harvest and actually be prepared, make all the machines ready, and actually be keeping track of all the other things that go into preparation for the harvest. If you act as though there is no harvest, well, then you're not ready to reap it. Now, Jesus, in our gospel reading, spoke of those who will act almost kind of like this. They'll act like those people at the time of Noah, those who will become overly consumed with just the facts of the present reality and not actually look to the future. Noah had warned them about a coming flood, but instead they said, well, whatever, eat, drink, be merry. We're going to live like we want anyways. And so God reveals these things to us. And in our times, all things are revealed to us through God's written word. At that time, they had Noah, who was now God's advocate for them, to tell them about these things. But now we have those who preach it instead. And those awake listen to what the word says. They reflect both on the present promises of Jesus and all that he offers us and the ones that are yet to come. Yet the danger is that we lose sight of the goal. Because that's really what this is. We can actually make the Christian life into just like mere facts, or living just a moral life, or being kind of a good person, but not actually keeping that goal in mind of where our life is actually going to lead. It's much more than that. Knowing you're forgiven and anticipating the coming hope of the resurrection and the judgment that comes with it is actually keeping that goal in mind. And that's what Advent is making us try and anticipate. Keeping the goal of the resurrection ever before our eyes, not just living a moral and good life, but knowing that that moral and good life that is lived in Christ actually leads us somewhere and has a goal. But if we don't do that, we'd be no different than those people at the time of Noah, not awake, not expecting God's judgment, but those just living their life, kind of moseying about and doing whatever. And there's really no hope outside of what life there is to come. It would just be things on earth. Oh, it's okay. Nothing's there for us in the future. Now, on the other hand, an overemphasis on the Lord's return and that day of judgment can make us lose sight, like I said, of all those promises that he already has accomplished for us. And many think they do just what Jesus said in our text. As he said, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Well, they seek signs and wonders. They look to the sky and the stars, and they try to predict the exact date that Jesus is coming back. And they Oftentimes, we even look at the wickedness in the world and they think, if we can just gauge how wicked the world is, we'll know the exact date Jesus is going to come back, as if anything's new under the sun and as if we haven't already had these wicked things happen before in times before us. And so they forever kind of move the goalpost of when Jesus will come back because they think that staying awake is looking for the proper signs or constellations or how wicked the world is around us, but they don't actually really stay awake. And so this is the couple who does nothing but worry about the coming of a child, and they get overconsumed with the fact of not knowing when that child is going to come, and they just do nothing but not focus on the things elsewhere in life. And now this is also the farmer, though, who himself gets overly concerned with the rain and not trusting that the Lord will actually provide and that the harvest will be okay and it's on his time. Now this, though, some think is true preparation and true staying awake for Jesus. All the while they neglect to preach and teach the forgiveness flowing from the death of the at Jesus' cross and what that means for his return. You know, focus too much on this part of Advent, and life becomes just full of worry, doubt, worry for those who have not heard the word of God, and if taken to an extreme, questioning whether or not you too will be awake on that last day because you've lost sight of the promises Jesus has already declared for you. And instead of anticipating the great joy that is to come, the mind then just races with doubts, concerns, anxieties of the unknowns of Jesus' return. Yet the thing about the return of Christ is that there's actually much more that is known than there is unknown, even though people don't think that. You see, the Lord's return, if we remember the coming of Christ that first Christmas season, then informs us what will be taking place on that day that he returns, especially what will be taking place for you. Now, people long awaited this coming Messiah, and they awaited in faith, knowing that he was going to bring forgiveness of sins and deliverance from death and the devil. The whole Old Testament was this people waiting in great hope and anticipation, wanting to have the coming of the Messiah to receive that forgiveness. And so they were awakened, and they looked to the Old Testament scripture, carefully and vigilantly watching for that coming Savior. Now, this is what being awake truly is. But instead of looking forward to the cross like they did, we now get to look backward, and we get to see it in its fullness and what has been revealed to us in Scripture. The Old Testament people looked forward, and now we look backward, and in some sense, we also get to look forward at the same time. But what we know about what we look backward on informs what we know about when Jesus returns. Looking back upon the cross is what makes our Lord's return nothing to be feared, nothing to be anxious about. Just like the coming of a child, there's nothing to be worried about so long as you don't live as if you're not expecting a child. Just like the farmer who plants crop should live as though he is going to have to actually harvest the crop. In our Lord's return, you will not be forgotten. In our Lord's return, you will be judged, but you will be judged and you will be prepared for this judgment, because each and every year and every time you gather in the sanctuary, you are hearing the word of God and believing what has been said to you, that Jesus died for you, that Jesus forgave you, that Jesus loves you. This is what the people of the Old Testament anticipated to see with their own eyes, and what we also anticipate to see with our eyes when Jesus returns. Except now we actually have the full story from the New Testament, that Jesus said these things for us. And so we hold these two feelings in tension throughout all of Advent, this anticipation. We won't be left in the field, you won't be unprepared for the thief, and you will be that faithful steward awaiting the return of the master to the house. Our Lord's return is certain, just as certain as the day of a woman who's going to give birth when she's pregnant. It's still a little bit unknown, but we do know that it's going to come. You are awake, not because you know the time or the hour, but because your anticipation of that day makes you look back upon the cross and know all the gifts that Jesus has offered you in forgiveness. You know what his verdict will be for you when he judges you. It'll be not guilty, covered by Christ, forgiven, died for, paid for. The list can go on. And I'm sure in the coming months, though, that Leah and I will be awake quite a bit. But that won't take away the joy that we received at the coming of our child. And so you will be awake, dear Christians, who fight against the sin of the world. And it might be a wearying battle against all of the temptations that Satan will throw your way, but you cannot lose sight of the joy that you already have in the forgiveness of sins that Christ offered you and the hope of the life to come and the resurrection. And so, this Advent season, we get to pray those words, "Come, Lord Jesus." In his precious name, amen. At this time, we will sing our hymn of the day, or I guess not hymn of the day, but LSB 940. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above, that our Lord's advent might kindle in us a love for his name, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
that the church would be preserved against all her enemies, and that we as God's people would walk in his ways and one day welcome with gladness Hosanna's Jesus in his glory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Christian homes, that God would defend the single husbands and wives and all children from the temptation to walk in the works of darkness, clothing them instead with the armor of light. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, governor, and all the temporal authority, that godly wisdom would guide policy and lead nations into the way of peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in great need, those afflicted with physical and mental ills, those whose hearts are touched by grief, and those in their last days on earth. We pray especially for Don and Alice, Margaret, Bernetta, Gary, Bill, Bryston, Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Chelsea, Norma, Ron, Vicky, Jema, Judy, Joni, Kyle, Sarah, Marilyn, Renee, Michelle, and Sandy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank, bless, and praise you forever that you sent your Son to reign over us poor sinners, who for our trespasses deserve rightly to remain in bondage to sin and Satan. You have given us a righteousness and humble King who through his death has saved us from sin and eternal death. We implore you, enlighten, govern, and direct us by your Holy Spirit that we may remain faithful to this righteous King and Savior and not be offended by his humble appearance or despised word, but believe in him and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn.
Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each your love possessing, triumph in redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us, oh, refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give and add
joyful song.